So we're going to begin with that first factor. We have a future confidence. We have a future confidence. Let's read verse 1 again. This is what he says. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the future. This is New Testament, grace age, Pauline truth, inspired by God, which I believe God has given to us through His Word so that we can live in light of this tremendous hope in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. How did the Apostle Paul know these things to be true? We cannot measure eternity. The Lord had given him this information. Now, the content of this passage lays out for us our future reality and gives to us this morning much hope. I believe hope for those who have lost loved ones. Those who have lost loved ones. I believe it does something else. It gives hope for those who are presently suffering in their bodies. Because what the Apostle Paul reveals here is that when a believer leaves this life and goes to be with the Lord, they will be given new eternal bodies. Paul knew that this would be the case. He didn't doubt in his mind that this would happen. He begins this section in chapter 5, verse 1 with these words, "For we know." He was looking forward to and expecting that these things would take place. He was not neglecting, though, what he had previously taught the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians. Keep your hand here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But if you would, turn with me just a few pages back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul wrote to the same group of believers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians, as he did when he wrote 2 Corinthians. And he wanted to remind them of a future event that would take place. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, he makes note of the rapture here. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep." And we can take that word sleep, that means to die. "But we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." When one considers these verses right here in 1 Corinthians, you come to understand the Apostle Paul's theology. He was looking forward to this event. He says, "I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep." He was expecting this future event known as the rapture to take place at any moment. He was looking forward to it. He was expecting it to happen. But he knew that if he did not go through that, he would eventually experience physical death. Now, there are two words that I want to focus on in verse 1 of chapter 5 this morning. Two words I want to focus in on. The first word that I want us to focus in on is this word tent. Paul described his body as an earthly tent, which is a bit ironic because he was a tent maker. In fact, the region he was originally from was known for its goat hair cloth, which was used for making tents. Paul was skilled in this, and he knew that tents were flimsy. He knew that they didn't last forever and that they ultimately had their limitations. Katie and I have a tent. We can put it fits both her and I and our three kids in it. We set it up just a couple of days last summer, and a gust of wind got underneath that tent and flipped it right upside down. Thankfully, it didn't break anything, but tents are flimsy. It's interesting that he draws this comparison between the human body and these tents. These are earthly tents. As human beings, we are both material and immaterial. At some point, whether we accept this truth or not, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes to rapture us up with Him, our bodies will either continue to grow older and die, or our time will come unexpectedly. And Paul is saying here, I want you to view this as a transition more than anything. When our bodies, with their limitations, finally die, we will have access to a new body that has been prepared for us by the Lord. Amen. The second word I want us to look at is this word building in verse 5, of verse 1 in chapter 5. Paul writes, "We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This word Paul uses for building is directly connected to that new body we will be given when we go to be with the Lord. I'll never forget this. Some things just stick in your mind. This was one of them a long time ago when I attended Frontier School of the Bible. I began to sense that the Lord was calling me into the pastorate. And around that time, I knew a man by the name of Eric, and we knew their family. Eric was probably in his 30s at the time, had a beautiful family, loved his Lord. And I'll never forget Eric. He contacted ALS, which is a disease that affects the nerve cells in the brain and in the spinal cord. And eventually, this disease ate at all of the muscles in Eric's body. The last time I saw Eric, he was confined to a wheelchair, and he couldn't move anything. He was very active in our church, and it was strange to see him like this. He couldn't lift his arms. He couldn't walk. He could barely even talk. And it was right around that time I told Eric that I felt that the Lord was calling me in the full-time ministry. Now, here was a man who was completely constrained to a chair, and he could have been bitter towards God. But his response was something I'll never forget. He said, "Praise the Lord." This man had his focus on Christ. And I believe in that he knew what his future was. He had tremendous hope, and he was looking forward to that day. That didn't mean that they didn't have their struggles, because I believe they did. But he had his focus on the Lord. Maybe you are suffering physically in some way this morning. I know that we all know someone who is. There is a great promise here in verse 1, and it is this, that this new body that we will be given to us by God, and it will be eternal. And we can have confidence that these things will take place. The second factor is that we have a future promise. We have a future promise in verses 2 through 4. Now, the Apostle Paul will focus in on two main realities that deal with the promise of a new body itself. The first main reality is that we groan with a future expectation of what is to come. We groan with a future expectation of what is to come. We see that in verses 2 through 3. Let's read that together. "For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked." The Apostle Paul says he was longing to be clothed with that new body from heaven. He could use that same word longing. He would use it in 2 Timothy, which is a letter to a young man in the ministry. And he says right there in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy." The Apostle Paul, when he was writing this letter, he was looking forward to being with Timothy. This was towards the end of his life. He wanted to look forward to that moment when he would invest in Timothy, when he could be with Timothy. But that word longing carries with it this idea of having a strong desire for something. The Apostle Paul had that desire to put on that new heavenly body. I was speaking with Pastor Brad about this a couple weeks ago, and he told me that he longs for that future heavenly body now more than when he was 27 years old, when he was my age. And some of you that may be older than Pastor Brad may say, "I long for it now more than when I was Pastor Brad's age." And that's just the reality of it. The Apostle Paul was looking forward to this. He was looking forward to that moment when he would step out of this life, enter into eternity, and have that new body. Now, when we look at the Apostle Paul, we see how he viewed this, how he viewed eternity, and how he viewed the fact that when he passed from this life, he would be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We see it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. He says, "Having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better." In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, we're familiar with that one. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There it is. To die is gain. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, we are of good courage. I say and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 8. And again, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He was looking forward to that moment when he would step from this life into eternity. That second main reality is that we groan with an earthly realization of what will be gone. We groan with an earthly realization of what will be gone, and we see that in verse 4. For indeed, while we are in this tent, in this body right now, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. A few weeks earlier, it was mentioned that the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh that actually brought him to a point where he was completely dependent upon God and his grace. Paul writes, "For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened." And I believe the Apostle Paul is to a point in his ministry at this age where he is beginning to have some physical limitations. He was getting older. He had this thorn in the flesh. It was a little bit more difficult to minister. And even though these things were going on, he was looking forward to when he would pass from this earth. And by the way, the Apostle Paul implored the Lord how many times? Three times, that this thorn in the flesh would leave him. God answered that prayer, didn't he? Through death. When the Apostle Paul died, that thorn in the flesh was gone. It left him when he went to go be with the Lord. What we need to keep in mind is that as we come to verse 4, that word tent is carried down. And the durability of a tent is only temporal, but soon we will all put on that eternal body. Maybe the physical limitations we have been dealt with in life will be replaced with a body so much better than the one we have now. And knowing this, Paul said, "I groan after what is to come." There was once a disabled man who was asked, "You must look forward to running and walking when you get into heaven." And he replied with the right answer. He said, "When I get before my Savior and my Creator, all I'm going to do is I'm going to kneel before Him." And Paul writes here in verse 4 that he groaned for what was to come so that what was mortal could be swallowed up by life. That word that Paul uses for swallow is a word that carries with it the idea that it will be the end of something. And in Paul's case, on this side of heaven, when he died, it was the end of his physical body with all of those limitations. And that thorn of the flesh was done away with. You know what wasn't done away with, though? His soul. When he died, he continued on. His existence didn't stop. He continued on and he stepped right into eternity, which brings us to the third factor that the Apostle Paul unfolds for us in this text, and that is that we have a future guarantee. We have a future guarantee. Verse 5 says, "Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge." First time I had any real solid biblical teaching in my life concerning the Holy Spirit was when I went to Frontier School of the Bible. And the Apostle Paul is coming to a point where he's bringing in the Holy Spirit right here in verse 5. What Paul is saying here is that the proof that God has prepared us for this future blessing is found in the fact that he has given believers the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit before he passed away. In the last moments of his life, he promised to send a helper, and that helper would come and would indwell those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. When you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior to save you from your sin, you came to a point where you recognized that you were a sinner and that God was holy and perfect. And you realized that there was nothing in your own effort that you could do to make yourself right with God. So you place your faith in Jesus Christ. At that moment, when you place your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and He indwells you. And it is a permanent residency. And Paul goes on further in this passage to explain that when God gave us the Holy Spirit, He gave Him to us as a pledge, which in the Greek is alrobon, meaning to make a deposit. Lewis Chafer makes a great point here. He says that a pledge is a partial payment which is given in advance and guarantees the final payment of the whole. You could think of it as a business transaction. I don't want you to miss this. God has promised to bring to pass that which has yet to happen in regards to our future bodies. And in the meantime, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. That is good news. I came to faith in Jesus Christ at the age of 19. And my life changed in the sense that when I placed my faith in Christ, my relationship with God was now different. I was right with God through faith in Christ because of what Christ had accomplished. Instead of doing the things that I was doing, I was right with God by now the righteousness that Christ provided. And I accessed His righteousness through faith. And shortly after, it was in that time frame while I attended Frontier School of the Bible, I came to understand what that meant for me. And we have, as believers, a tremendous hope. A tremendous hope. As we consider the future and as we consider the fact that when we leave this earth, we're going to be given new bodies. I need to say that when I have my mind focused on eternity, and when I am looking forward to that moment, to being with Jesus Christ, it produces great hope for the future and an unbelievable amount of joy in the present as I think about that. Maybe you are going through some pain, maybe some physical hardship. I want you to know that there is hope. And a big part of that is to keep our focus on eternity. That's what we're called to do. We need to keep our focus on eternity. I think that that is something that is imperative as we consider the fact that we are called to please the Lord in verse 9 of chapter 5. We need to have that focus. And what I have mentioned this morning, what the Apostle Paul really unfolded for us this morning in chapter 5, these were promises, this future permanent residency with Christ, this future body that would be given to us by God. These promises are for the believer, not the unbeliever. It's for the believer. Maybe you're in here this morning and you have been trusting in your own works to be right with God. Maybe you've thought that or maybe have grown up thinking that you've had to do a number of things in order to be right with God. I want you to know that there was a rescue plan in that God sent His Son Jesus Christ, and this was necessary. It was something that needed to happen because there is no other way to Jesus Christ. And the Scripture is very clear that if we are trusting in our own works, if we're trusting in our own self-righteousness, we can't be right with God through that. We're only right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have never heard that, I want you to know that that free gift of God's grace has been extended to you this morning. And you can accept that grace, that gift of grace right now. You can accept it through faith. And if anyone here has done that, I want you to know, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ this morning, these promises that we've looked at, this future confidence that the Apostle Paul had, this confidence is now your confidence as it is ours. It is a confidence that we have as we look forward to eternity with Christ. Let's remember that our bodies, according to the Apostle Paul, are like tents. Our time is short. And we are as believers just passing through. This isn't it. It seems to me every year time is going by faster and faster and faster. I'm 27 years old. I don't know if having kids adds on to that, being busy. I suspect it probably does. But we are just passing through. We've set up tents. This isn't it. And what we do will impact eternity. And so I want to reflect back on what we looked at last week. Let's live in light of that eternal hope today and in the week to come. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ to come to this world. Father, to give up himself in death on a cross, taking upon himself the sins of the world and experiencing in full your wrath that we should experience because of our sin. He took our place, and what he accomplished on the cross was enough. And Father, we thank you for that. I want to thank you for each one that is here this morning. I pray that we would be reminded because of this text to live in light of that future hope that is before us. We thank you for that promise that you've given to us. And we thank you for the promise of the rapture and that Jesus Christ may return, and maybe it would be this week. Father, I pray that if it would be, that we would step out of this life and into eternity this week. You may find us faithful. Lord, we will give you praise for that. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be dismissed. Let me get to the back.